Welcome to No Longer Conformed, my online preaching and teaching ministry. We're studying the book of Matthew, the first gospel. In this session, we'll be looking at Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 to 20. A great confession, a firm foundation. Jesus' followers need to know the truth regarding who he is and his plan for saving mankind. Why? Well, they will carry that mission beyond his beginning into history. They must know the Savior by the revelation of the Spirit, and they must understand the nature of the church. They must serve obediently and as specifically as the Lord directs, which means being sensitive to the Holy Spirit's leading and confident in his precise timing. Our text in Matthew 16, verses 13 to 20, presents three revelations regarding the church by Jesus Christ. First, Jesus provoked the confession of his identity. Verse 13, when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" So they said, "Some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "You're the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." Jesus initiated the discussion. "Who do men say that I am, that I, the Son of Man, am?" The disciples answered with what others were saying. It seemed they were paying attention to what people were saying about Jesus. Jesus then personalized it. "But who do you say that I am?" And Peter answered with great spiritual insight, "The Son of the living God versus idols of pagan gods. The Christ, Messiah." An open acknowledgement of Jesus Christ's deity. God the Father opened Peter's eyes to the full significance that Jesus is God the Son. "Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you." This is a picture of a deep knowledge of Christ by faith. Peter was not expressing a personal theological opinion he had heard about Jesus' identity. It was a sincere confession of faith, like one who possesses a regenerated heart. Jesus provoked the confession of his identity. And second, Jesus proclaimed the character of his church. Verses 18 and 19. "And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." He declared the nature of the church. But first, Jesus changed Simon's name to Peter. Petros, a small stone. John chapter 1, verse 42. "And he brought him to Jesus. Now when Jesus looked at him, he said, 'You are Simon, the son of Jonah. You shall be called Cephas,'" which is translated a stone. And then Jesus declared himself the rock for the church. Petra, a foundation boulder. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 and 25. "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock." Jesus was simply using a play on words to emphasize his church lesson. Sadly, the Roman Catholic Church uses this passage as the basis for Petrine succession of the popes. Peter was the first pope because he received the keys from Jesus and passed them on to the next pope, and they passed in succession to this day. Yet, it's clear in the New Testament that Jesus is the foundation, not Peter. Acts chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is this salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 11. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. And Jesus is the head. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 23. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. It's a mistake to attribute these roles to the apostle. Primacy in the church is Christ alone. Peter himself affirmed this truth in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 5 through 7. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is also contained in the Scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious, but to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. And yet the apostles did play a foundational role in building the church. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 20. Having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. In this passage, Jesus defined the nature of the church. Jesus revealed it, revealed the foundation, the builder of the church. I will build my church. It is his church, not ours. We are his caretakers. He builds it, not us. We are his agents in ministry. Jesus is the architect, the builder, the owner, and the Lord. Greek for church is ecclesia, the called out ones. God has been gathering together to himself out of the world sinners redeemed by his grace ever since the church began on Pentecost. And the church is operating in his sovereignty even to this day. Jesus emphasized the strength of the church. The gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. Hades is the punishment place for spirits of unbelievers prior to the white throne judgment and the lake of fire. Gates is an entry point. Death. Even death, which is Satan's ultimate weapon, is powerless to stop the forward movement of the church. The blood of the martyrs has helped build the church over the many centuries since Pentecost. And then Jesus established, number four, the authority of the church, the keys of the kingdom of heaven. They represent authority. He gave authority to declare what was bound or loosed in heaven. John chapter 20 and verse 23. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. This truth is understood by Matthew chapter 18, verses 15 to 20, in the context of dealing with the sin in the church. A body of believers acting in accordance with God's word has the authority to declare if someone is forgiven or unforgiven. The church's authority, listen, is not to determine these things, but to declare the judgment of heaven that has already occurred based on the principles of God's word. The Greek verb tense is perfect passive participle, which reflects an action completed in the past that has continuing results in the future. For example, it has been written. A participle is a verbal adjective. It describes action, having gone. In other words, what they, the church, bind or loose on earth is already bound or loosed in heaven. Why? Only the King in heaven has the authority to do this, not us. We just proclaim what has already been done based upon the truth of God's word. Jesus proclaimed the character of the church. And third, Jesus prevented the advertisement of his ministry. Verse 20. Then he commanded his disciples that they should tell no one that he was Jesus the Christ. This is the strangest commandment, but Jesus gave it several times. In Matthew chapter 8, verse 4. And Jesus said to him, "See that you tell no one, but go your way, show yourself to the priests, and offer the gift that Moses commanded as a testimony to them." Matthew 17, verse 9. Now as they came down from the mountain, Jesus commanded them, saying, "Tell the vision to no one until the Son of Man is risen from the dead." Mark chapter 8, verse 30. Then he strictly warned them that they should tell no one about him. And then Mark chapter 9, and verse 9. Now as they came down from the mountain, he commanded them that they should tell no one the things that they had seen till the Son of Man had risen from the dead. Jesus told his disciples not to share his revealed identity with anyone. Tell no one. Why? Well, public attention would hinder Jesus' ministry, diverting attention from his message to his miracles. This is a lesson for us as Christians on being obedient to Christ's word, even when it seems to be against our best understanding of things. You have a great day.